that ain't no loyalty amongst these. It's all robbery out here. So you're going to do what you got to do.
You dropped some amazing quotes in this podcast. I'm going to have to go back and start making some merchandise here. I would kill for an open tackle is going to be my new Twitter bio.
Yeah, I want that on a shirt.
We Need to Be Doing That, a podcast that combines sports, social media content, and life. I'm Jonah Ballow.
I'm Keith Steckler.
I'm Elliot Gerard.
We Need to Be Doing That is a Heartland Group production.
Come on. We need to be doing that.
You know, people talk a lot about Kevin Bacon, but I got to tell you that the person we have coming on today, I think she's equally connected. When I bring her name up, I get texts like, oh shit, you know Coop? So you might have heard her on ESPN or your favorite platform, podcast platform. You might have seen her doing things like hosting the CIAA tournament. I'm thrilled to have friend of the program, Candace Cooper, on the podcast. What's up, Candace?
Not much. Thanks, guys, so much for having me. What an introduction. Never had that before.
We try to do our best. And I suspect, you know, we're going to talk about March Madness and some other things. I suspect the conversation will be heavy on ACC teams. That's okay.
Okay. Okay. No pressure.
Just given your background, you know?
Yeah, trying to get through the week unscathed would be great. That's all I need.
I hear you. So let's start at background. Give the listeners a little bit about you, your background, school, and we'll kick it off from there.
Yeah, proud graduate of University of North Carolina, Chapel Hill. Swam there for 4 years. First African-American female to swim at UNC Chapel Hill. And then spent some time working for the government. Decided after a year of working for the government that going to grad school would probably be the better option. 9-to-5 life is not what everyone cracked it up to be. So I went to Wake Forest Business School and then decided that I still had a need to swim. And so I swam for 2.5 years in post-grad and was Olympic trial, swam at Olympic trials, then retired, didn't know what to do with life. And so I've been on a journey in the sports world ever since. So I spent some time in New Orleans, I spent some time in Houston, in various roles, working in radio broadcasting for a while, been doing that for a minute, working in podcasting and having the opportunity to work in operations. And now finally taking my big girl journey into working for Under Armour as a lead producer for their social content. So yeah, it's been a long road, windy road of what I don't want to do to find out what I have been good at. So here we are.
Yeah, oftentimes that is what it is. Finding out what you don't like in order to get to what you do like.
Yeah, yeah. I decided that being broke is actually one thing I, number one, do not want to be. So it limits your opportunities in sports, you know, but it's fine. I found a good groove.
Let's talk about the swimming. The accomplishment at UNC is quite a feat, and I don't want to understate that or undervalue that for a second.
Yeah.
What was swimming? I was going to say playing the sport. How was swimming growing up? I suspect you were one of the few black girls in the pool. How was that?
Yeah, listen, so I started swimming when I was 8 years old at the YMCA, and I just wanted to be able to get a black band, which means you could swim in the deep end. So I didn't know much about the swimming world. I wasn't someone who really had a knack for it. My parents just put me in the YMCA, you know, year-round team, went one time a day, had my first swim meet. My parents walked alongside the pool because they thought I was going to drown, literally. Very true story. My parents didn't understand that people swam outdoors in elements. And so we were the black family that sat in the car during the rain while everyone else was just being outside. So, you know, cultural things were very different. But at the end of the day, I think that it was just one of those things where I truly enjoyed. I was good at basketball. I played softball. My dad is a hooper. He played at St. Augustine's University. But I didn't want to be like my dad. So it just made me turn to the swimming world a little bit harder and just kind of carve my own path. And I like being different. And, you know, growing up in the swimming world, you definitely experience some of that microaggressive behavior that we have come to know and coin the term. But I think it's made me who I am. I know how to be in a lot of different spaces, thankfully, and it's opened a lot of doors for me. So being in sports has been a benefit of just having that fun fact and talking about, you know, my life at Carolina and what it was good and sometimes not so good. But ultimately, I think it's made me who I am and made me, you know, really appreciate having a difference in not just because of how I look, but just a different eye for things.
When did you get the feeling that you could do that in college? When did that become real?
I think I took off when I was about 13, 14. Like in the swimming world, girls usually 16, you know, okay, it's about to be something, or girls are about to like trick off, and it's cool for new high school, and you don't necessarily want to kind of go to the next level. I think probably 13, 14 was really when I started to break away, you know, getting a little bit taller, thinning out. And when I say thinning out, I mean just getting a little bit stronger because always been a thick girl. But just having the opportunity to, you know, really get in some times, be a part of some swim camps. You know, I went to Virginia swim camp when I was younger, and just seeing what college life could be like and what I could do with the sport and how fast I needed to be. You know, swimming is one of those things where it's just black and white. Like, if you have the times, you get an offer. If you don't have the times, it is what it is. You can, you know, you can't really preach yourself on improvement. You could talk like, you can't sell yourself the way you maybe can in basketball or football. Like, I see the potential, like, sure. But in the day, if you can't go the times, it's hard to sell yourself. So luckily I was in a position to go fast enough to get an opportunity to go to Carolina. But taking my recruiting trips, I looked at Tennessee, I looked at Virginia Tech, looked at LSU and Carolina, and I almost went to LSU. Thankfully, I decided that if I broke my knee, you know, Baton Rouge was definitely not a city that I wanted to be in. So Chapel Hill ended up being the place because it was the most diverse in terms of just people hanging out with each other. And for me, that's all I grew up doing, was not only hanging out with my swim friends, but clearly because of who I am, I was like, I hang out with people that look like me. So I'm going to need to go to a place where people look like me. And so when I went on my trip, Carolina was the one place that hung out with, you know, all teams and all people. So it was home, and I never wanted to go there, but here we are. Like, true story. I told my mom when I got in the car, I was like, damn, I might have to go to Carolina down the street. Like, that's wild. So here we are.
Why do you think there's a disparity of race in swimming?
I think one is access. I think swimming pools are very hard to find in certain areas. I think the cost of swimming is very expensive. It's like a lacrosse. It's like a tennis. You know, we talked about King Richard. We talked about Will Smith and like how that is. It very much is a thing. You know, like having the money and the means to do these sports is very real. And truthfully, the sport has only grown maybe 1-2% since I started swimming in terms of Black people being at the top levels. And the issue also is just people not believing, generational issues. People, if my grandmama didn't swim, she's more likely not taking me to the pool to get lessons. And she's scared of water. She's scared, you know, if I have one bad experience, it just scars them for life. And so people just pass that down. Like, we're not meant to swim. You know, we're taught that narrative. Like, that's just not what we do. And it's unfortunate because there are so many people who do it and do it really well, but more than that, don't even know that they have the opportunity or, you know, the power to carve out a new lane for themselves.
Where do you think college athletics are at this point? I mean, what was your experience like as a swimmer at that level? I can only imagine. I'm not skilled enough to be a collegiate athlete, but I've worked around a lot and worked in the media, you know, talking to a lot of athletes, and really, you know, drastically different experiences. Some say I loved it. Some say no, it took everything away from what, you know, I needed to accomplish in terms of scholastically. So from your experience, what was it like, and where do you think, you know, it needs to go in terms of improvement, if there needs to be improvement in that space?
Yeah, I think what college athletes have now is such a big growth than what I had in school. Like, I loved my time at Carolina. I had the best 4 years, the hardest 4 years of my life. I would say college athletes are built different. Like, you can't tell me anybody is going to outwork me, you know, out hustle me, do whatever is needed to get a job done. In that same vein, I have dealt with a difficult coach. So I know what being with a difficult boss is like. Like, that doesn't faze me, difficult people in general. But also, I'm hella jealous of college athletes now. Like, you got mental health resources. Like, what is that? What is even acknowledging that, you know, some stuff is hard? Like, y'all got snacks for free? Are you kidding me? Like, so you mean to tell me all I had to do was put out a tweet that I'm hungry and I could have got some free food? Oh, okay, that's what's up. And just thinking about like NIL deals, like being a Black girl who swam, I would have had the market running. Like, I joke all the time. And I'm like, if any woman who hasn't, you know, capitalized on this thing, you are missing out, because there's so many things for you, right? You could have your own shampoo line, because the question I got asked most is, what do I do with my hair, right? So having that, having my own swimsuits for girls who have bigger bottoms, like, it's, you know, it's something like as simple as that. But in the same time, you know, you could coin your own market. So like, I'm hella jealous that they have those opportunities, but I think it's good. Like, they should be paid as much work as they put in. They are actual workers. I definitely know that this is taking years off my life. If I'm going to be able to hold my kids when I'm 45, like, I know I'm probably going to have hip surgery. So it's the reality of the beast, but I wouldn't change anything. Cause again, it made me who I am. Like, I am grateful for the good and the bad and the ugly. Cause I have, every time I go through a new, like, change or a new season, I'm like, well, you remember when you had to, you know, do XYZ and you used to work out 9 times a week? Like, man, you were just getting it, girl. You know, you actually like worked out 9 times a week and went to class and had a social life. Like, how did you balance, you know? So it was good all in all. I wouldn't change a thing.
Now, I know you coach swimming mm-hmm. and you mentioned mental health. I'm curious what you might, you know, tell people that you're teaching in terms of the aspect of being in an individual sport like swimming or golf or tennis versus a team sport
yeah.
and how that really can take a toll on you.
Man, I think swimming, tennis, golf, all those types of sports really are like the dirty mistress of your life. Like, you're going to get in what you put out. Like, you have to be very dedicated to it. You can't have the same sort of experience as someone gets with teammates who, almost not saying people take nights off or anything like that, but if you're having an off day, it's all on you. And I think you have to unlearn and unpack the need for success and failure, because you do put it all on yourself. Like, there's just elements in life that could happen of why it didn't go your way. But when you are in those types of sports, you're the one who usually takes it on and takes all the heart of it. And so I'm so happy to see that there's mental health resources for learning how to move past that. And, you know, being in the swimming world, you know, teaching young girls just to love themselves, because being a swimmer, your body is literally damn near naked all the time, right? So having to learn to love yourself and have to learn to have a better relationship with food, I'm still learning that, right? I think those are the little things that people don't think about. But as you're trying to get out of the sports world, you recognize that, yeah, that was an unhealthy way of learning how to do something, or that was something that I just did or masked in order to get by. But now that I have time to unpack it, when you're living it, you know, you just try and tell people, like, baby steps, set small goals, and like really understand that this is going to go by so fast. And it's not it doesn't have to be your any and everything, but it does have to be a very focused part of your life if you want to get some sort of success.
Now, you mentioned NIL. It's been a topic of conversation on this podcast many times and off the podcast between the three of us at Heartland Group. Are you surprised at how quickly it moved and where it's at now? Or did you think it would be sort of this explosion that would happen, you know, within, you know, a pretty short amount of time?
You know, I still think it's a hot mess, I'm going to be honest. Like, I think it's still, people aren't doing it in a way that's going to be sufficient or sustainable. I wish the NCAA would step in a little bit more. They want to step in for everything else. You know, shout out to Carolina. I've experienced NCAA. So I wish they would just try and regulate. If they're going to regulate stuff, can't pick and choose. But even with legislation in certain states and how they are, you know, more adamant about doing NIL and others are just kind of falling, lagging behind. I wish there was just one point person who could make sure that every state had the same sort of rules and regulations. Cause we look at the transfer portal even, right? There's promising of deals and NIL and how easy it is to just be lured by things and, you know, teaching. We weren't really taught financial literacy the same way as, you know, they might be barely doing now, but even more so putting their names on things, you know, signing deals that they might not know the full extent of. I think it's just so important to have that homie who's in, you know, pre-law or trying to figure out how to make sure that your money's straight. So you're not just putting your name and your face on things that aren't about brands that you represent. So I just think it's a long way to go. It's a good step in helping kids, you know, get the money that they deserve, but it definitely needs better regulation.
I know college basketball has been part of your life throughout college and post-college. Mentioned in the intro, you hosted the CIAA tournament. How did that come about and what was that experience like?
Yeah, you know, that was crazy. That was my first time ever doing in-game hosting. And my friend who I went to grad school with at Wake Forest, her husband is in charge of, you know, venue events or sponsorship deals for the company that owns CIAA tournament. And so she was just like, hey, babe, one day at dinner, like, hey, babe, you know, Candace does in-game hosting because they were looking for somebody. And so he reached out and that's how it is. But, you know, that's really the nature of sports, right? Somebody just puts your name in a room without you even knowing, you know, gives you an opportunity, just lob something your way. So that's how that came to be. And, you know, hopefully I can come back, but everyone seemed to enjoy it. It was really cool. Like, it was in Baltimore for the first time ever. But the CIAA tournament has been in North Carolina for so many years, and just growing up with it, like my church choir performed at CIAA tournament. Like, that's how far back it goes for me. But at the end of the day, it was a great experience that I definitely hope to do more of in the future.
What's your thoughts on the conferences and where we're at now? You know, it's so interesting. When I was growing up, Big 12 basketball, right? That I grew up in that, you know, part of the country, went to the University of Kansas. Shout out Roy Williams. So now we, you know, in the Big East was such a powerhouse with legendary coaches and storied rivalries. And now there's just, it's not even regional anymore. The ACC does have a little bit of that still, that staying power, but it doesn't feel as conference versus conference anymore. What are your thoughts on where the landscape is, especially, you know, when it comes to conferences?
Yeah, I mean, at the end of the day, you can't hide money. And so I just wish people were more honest about what it's really coming to at the end of the day, when it's TV rights deals and all of those different things. Like, you could care less if a kid from Missouri has to travel all the way to Texas, or has to travel, you know, wherever they have to go, or North Carolina teams have to go to New York, stuff like that. Like, they don't care about none of that. Like, did they want to add another team into the ACC mix? Fine. Like, what are we going to do? The tradition is gone ever since Maryland left. It's like, you just don't have the same chutzpah as it used to. And that's fine. But I think at the end of the day, so long as, you know, your team rolls to the Final Four and international championship game, I'm cool with it. Like, as long as North Carolina looking good, I really ain't got no worries. But I think overall conferences, the way we have put, you know, Power Five, it really isn't as much of a staple as it used to be. But I still think it's enjoyable to see a lot of these players, you know, get to these, you know, name brand universities. And again, with those NIL deals, have those opportunities for themselves. But I'm also starting to love these smaller conferences and these smaller schools and these guys who are getting these chances. And, you know, especially with HBCUs and seeing them being able to get starts and opportunities in the league. Like, I think that's huge. You know, it doesn't matter where you go, especially in this day and age. If you're good, the media will find you, social media will find you, scouts will find you. So I think that's important for when people are making these college decisions.
For people who haven't experienced that, Tobacco Road, what is that like in those rivalries?
Man, oh, that's such a good question, because there's two sides, right? There's the people who never went to Duke or North Carolina, who for some reason their auntie loved Carolina or their uncle loved Duke, and that's why you love XYZ, and it's just staple. And like, those type of fans, I truly don't understand. Right? The ones who are like super fanatic to the point of, oh, you're not classy, or like, you're da 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 da. Like, why are you ready to talk about my mama when you didn't even get a degree from here? Like, I don't get it. Like, what? Touch grass, you know? Like, please, I just beg of you. Like, it's not that deep. But for people who go to the school, like, of course you have that pride about you, right? You want your school to get a national championship. Like, I'm spoiled. I saw a national championship my freshman year in 2009. Like, I don't know anything less than national championships. So I'm very hard on Carolina. I'm very tough. I called out Hubert Davis. I was like, maybe he's too nice. Like, maybe he's the Robin and we need a Batman. You know what I'm saying? Like, maybe he's just a really good number two. Some people are really great assistants, and that's okay. And then you had Carolina people jumping down my neck. I was like, whoa, here. Distinguished alumna, don't play with me. Like, you coming in these mentions talking crazy, I'm gonna talk back. And so it's just one of those things where people get really confused. And I think now that we have, you know, Twitter, and just seeing the things that people go back and forth with, like, yeah, I'm not gonna talk about Coach K and his mama. I don't care. Like, I'm gonna go live my life. Like, we're gonna watch this game, we're gonna enjoy it, and then we're gonna go about our way. But when I tell you this rivalry, like, people's whole days are ruined, whole weeks are ruined. They're gonna still talk about this thing, especially the one happening Saturday. It's just so much on the line that I wish they never met, but here we are, so we're gonna ride it out. But if they so happen, Duke happens to win, like, I need Kansas to go ahead and come through. That's all I'm saying.
We'll do our best. That's all I can say.
No pressure.
Let me tell you something. I was at Kansas writing for the school paper when Roy Williams left.
Okay.
And I wrote a column that Kansas basketball is bigger than Roy Williams. And it was the first time in my life, you know, it was a very good learning experience of backlash.
Yep.
Because I would be in class and seeing people read my column in front of me and not knowing I was behind them and talking shit and saying all these bad things. And, you know, it was really interesting because, you know, Roy Williams was synonymous with that school for so long, even though he wasn't able to bring a championship. But how quickly things have changed, especially with Roy. Now you just almost think of him. And of course, his home is North Carolina. So that happened first. But just the idea that, you know, the university couldn't go on or couldn't find anything better. Now Bill Self will probably have a court named after him. And he's had amazing success there. But the college experience on that level, there is something special to it. I think college basketball needs drastic improvement. The product on the floor, I think, is just subpar at best. We can't have teams scoring 40 points. I mean, come on. These are world-class basketball athletes. And then they go to the league and Jason Tatum can get 40 and, you know, a half.
100%. But
the other aspect of when you see, you know, the pageantry, the you know, rivalries and all these types of things, that's what really brings it home. And you're seeing a little bit of mix of that in this tournament, which has been fun, the Blue Bloods and sort of, you know, the St. Peters of the world. So it's been exciting. In terms of the college sports, which one do you think is the best, the most fun to watch, and kind of has that sort of excitement behind it?
Oh, I'm a football girl. I love football. I would kill for a good open field tackle. Like, I'm all about that. Like, I love defense. I love seeing people get wrapped up. I love seeing a quarterback get sacked. Like, there's just something great about that. And, you know, we had really good football. I was in the Butch Davis era. So that was back when, you know, we had football players who went on to, you know, do big things in the league and all that good stuff. So I've experienced the great times. Not to say Mac Brown isn't doing a good job over there at Carolina, but I love football. I think basketball is great, but something about football and just the intensity of it has always been fun for me. And just like the game of the trenches, I've always loved just seeing how they battle. And basketball, you know, just being a part of a culture where the idolatry of basketball players is just too much for me. Like, I'm just like, these jokers put on their pants just like you. And yet, you know, I would walk to class and someone would see a player and literally call their parents as if they just saw God walking, you know? And I'm just like, I don't get that, because I just swam at 5 a.m., just got out of practice, just saw them walking to class with me. Like, we're the same. Just the same. But, you know, I think all in all, college athletics is just really great because it really teaches you a lot. So I love basketball, but my heart is in football.
How about the shift to where you are now? We've covered all bases, I think, in Candace's life. But what an exciting opportunity that you're now with Under Armour and, you know, really a brand that I have been excited to follow from, you know, the sort of an upstart, right, in the industry and becoming a powerhouse with really superstar athletes. And they nail the idea of, which I think is hard for a lot of brands, especially in that space, I should say, of, you know, an Under Armour athlete, you kind of know the vibe, you know what you're getting with them. And I got a chance to go when Raymond Felton was with the Knicks. We actually went to Baltimore and went to the Under Armour campus, and I was blown away. Yeah. Not only just by the campus, but by the staff and the people there. And, you know, it sounds maybe cliche and marketing stuff like, oh, yeah, it's a culture. It really is. It really was. Yeah. And you know, when you buy the clothes and the shoes, it does have that feel. And going against the giants of that world and Nike and Adidas, it's been pretty impressive. And it seems like they're really continuing to lean into that.
Yeah, absolutely. I think one of the things that I really loved in the decision to come here was about the authenticity of Under Armour. I think they try to have really good content, and they really try and make sure that whatever they push out is something that they believe in. And it's not just a cog in the wheel, like, oh, we just have to keep pushing. We have to keep making sure everything looks like we're the top-notch person brand. And when I look at other athletes and other brands, it's like, it's cool, but you kind of know, like, growing up, Carolina girl, MJ, I was like, I can't work for a Nike. I can't work for Under Armour. Like, that's, you know, brand loyalty, right? But at the end of the day, checks is a check is a check. And you learn very quickly that ain't no loyalty amongst thieves. It's all robbery out here. So you're going to do what you got to do.
You dropped some amazing quotes in this podcast. I'm going to have to go back and start making some merchandise here. I would kill for an open tackle is going to be my new Twitter bio.
Yeah, I want that on a shirt.
Absolutely.
Listen, my favorite.
You talk about Twitter bios. You need to unpack your own, miss.
Yeah. My Twitter bio came from a TikTok, and it's like this girl or there's a guy talking to this young lady, and you know, they were both having like drinks, and she was just like, do you have a dream job? And he was like, darling, I don't have a dream job. I don't dream of labor. And that really stuck with me because that's been my journey, right? I don't dream of working till my back breaks. I've put in a lot of work to be places, but you know, I know that the end goal is not to slave over anything forever. But at the same time, you do what you got to do. So I've worked in the internships where I was picking up trash in New Orleans, hot as hell, you know, as an intern in the operations, you know, part, just making sure everyone had a good time, and working the kids stations at the Pelicans games. And so I have a different appreciation for the janitor and the one who would like hold the door for me the next morning when I have to go sit for the cleaning crew and make sure I had, you know, a breakfast sandwich or stuff like that. Like, you, people don't see, right? And that's the love of sports for me, is the people make it really enjoyable, and just having those, you know, ushers who make sure you get to your car and, you know, basic things like that, especially as a woman in sports. But seeing all that to get to here in Under Armour has been, you know, an incredible journey for me personally, but one where it's really just me getting a bigger territory to help somebody else. Like, all my jobs, if I can just open a door for somebody else, if I can just give somebody an opportunity, if I can just work on projects to where I can let people that look like me get some shine, great. Like, I've done what I'm supposed to do. Like, servant leadership has been something that's been instilled in me for so long that it's like, if you're not at a position where you're helping others, because why do it, right? So I think being a servant leader has always been huge for me, because if you're not opening doors for other people, how can you expect other people to open doors for you? And everything I've ever gotten has been on a whim. When I tell you, it's all been for somebody just putting my name in the room or giving me an opportunity. And once you're given opportunity, you got to fly and flourish. Like, that's really what it's been. You know, Under Armour came off of me just wanting a new chance. And when I tell you my email, I don't know what happened, but my spam folder caught my UA Under Armour phone request interview. So my first interview was in spam for a week and I didn't see it. And so when I tell you, it's the good Lord that just said, girl, just check your spam. Because I don't ever, who checks their spam folder? Totally. Nobody checks their spam folder. So I just happened to look and I saw one important email for something totally different. And I was like, well, let me just go see. And then I see Under Armour phone request. And I'm like, oh my, I'm still here emailing her back like, hey, just, you know, if you're still open, there's still an opportunity open. And like, went through five rounds and, you know, here I am on my third day, but still enjoying, you know, what is coming to be and getting opportunity to move to Baltimore, a new city and new eyes, and getting that first look by doing the CIAA tournament. Like, it's all coming full circle and how it's supposed to come. And just, I'm just so grateful to be a part of something that's bigger than me still. And again, opening doors for other people.
Okay, I'm going to, all right, Gmail spam right now, making sure I'm all good here, because now I'm nervous. What have I
Michael
missed?
Jordan's got an email right there for you. You know, you just never know who is in the spam folder now. Like, I seriously panic. I know I've never checked my, and every day I just do one little sweep, just like, just in case. Like, yeah, sure, all these new promos, but just in case, it's that
right,
one.
All the SEO business that they're trying to come after me for. Yeah, I'll get rid of that and see if there's anything important there. But specifically, you know? What are you going to be doing at Under Armour and sort of your day-to-day?
Yes, I'll be one of the lead producers. It's about to be a team of seven, and it's going to be an all woman team, which I'm super excited about. First time ever in my sports career not working for a man, which, you know, sorry guys, but that's really cool to me. Like, I've never been in a position where I answer to a woman who answers to a woman. Like, that's just super dope. I'm really excited to see how that dynamic rolls. But I'll be one of the lead producers that works, focuses on Under Armour social content. So I'm just pretty much the liaison to make sure the creative team has what they need and the various talent, and whether it's part of their running team or whether it's the specific team aspect. So, you know, the different colleges who are sponsored by Under Armour, they're putting out content and they're getting ready for draft. They have certain players, let's say, who are getting ready for NFL draft. And when they put a little 30-second bit on social, I'll just be in charge of making sure, you know, that comes all to life. So, yeah, excited about that. More so of a back of the scenes role, and I'm totally fine with that. I love being behind the scenes. I love not having to take center stage unless I have to. You know, you do what you got to do, but I like to be someone who just gets things going, just drops the gems and keeps it rolling.
That's awesome. We're happy for you, and of course wish you all the best. And, you know, look, if a banged up box from Baltimore hits the Heartland Group offices, we won't say a word.
Hey, listen, you just send the sizes and you know I got you. Our first day, they already talked about the discount needs. So, you know, they were already letting us know what is and what isn't. So I got y'all forever.
There it is. We'll let you go a week before hitting you up for that. Don't worry about it.
No, it's funny. As soon as I said I got the job, it's, you know how it is. It's like, as soon as you get something big and important, it's people coming out the woodworks out of left field, sending their sizes. And I'm like, I know you lying because I ain't getting you not nary a thing. Only because you didn't even ask. You didn't even say congratulations before you said, oh yeah, I wear a medium. I'm like, all right, man. Say less. You're going to be the last on the list. But yeah, I'm cool with it.
All right. Well, we'll get Elliot working on that Under Armour Check Your Spam collabo. I think that's going to be really great.
Listen, you'd be surprised. You like, that's just how I know things are beyond, right? Like, you just have to. That was your moment. That was your opportunity because you just put yourself, got a little voice in your head, right, that allowed you to do something randomly. So I'm never going to take opportunities for granted and just really grateful that I have this one here.
Well, that's a fantastic way to end. So if people are somehow not already following you, where can they follow you and talk about UNC and everything else you love?
Man, you hype it, but I'm really low key with it. Candace D. Cooper on Twitter, and you can follow me there. At Instagram is more my real life, just me being me. Coop_can. Not really sports takes over there, but Candace D. Cooper on Twitter is where I talk most about my sports podcasts. Locked On ACC, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. David Locke from the Utah Jazz, voice of the Utah Jazz, started a podcast network where we have hundreds of hosts. You know, I get to work with five guys every single day. Incredible, incredibly talented, and just so humble, giving me their time every single day for up to 30 minutes talking about all these sports. And so, yeah, right now it's definitely college basketball time. So Final Four, you get the thoughts on Carolina Duke, and I can't wait till it's over. I really can't. You know, I just hope, I hope Carolina comes out victorious, but you know, it is what it is.
That's a wrap for this week. Thanks for listening to the We Need to Be Doing That podcast. Visit WeNeedToBeDoingThat.com for more episodes and contact information.